Our gospel today is the story of the Transfiguration. It's from Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to them, "Master, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them. And then came from the cloud a voice saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one around them, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until the Son of Man had been risen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would like to invite the children to head back with intern Kate. They're going to be reading A Pocket Full of Kisses and also hearing a retelling of the story in a little simpler language. Oh, get back there. There we go. Yeah, they're going to be back there in the burgundy chairs. Pastor Laura calls them pink. Are they really pink? Oh, well, the chair's back there. Okay. My eyes don't do the colors very well. If there were a 4th of July in the Gospel of Mark... Oh, wait. I'm not in the U.S. anymore. If there was a 150th celebration of Canada Day, fireworks and displays and everything going off, it would be Transfiguration. It would be the Transfiguration. I mean, there's so much going on here. You know, on a high mountain, you got Jesus kind of dazzling white. You got Moses and Elijah. There's whole Bible studies. We could spend hours just talking about who Moses is, who Elijah is, and why those two would be the ones Jesus is talking to. And then you have clouds and voices coming from the clouds. It's one of those Sundays where there's so much going on. And even at the end, there's this thing of, shh, don't tell anybody about this. But I thought I'd keep my sermon to a reasonable amount of time. And so instead, I'm going to focus on something rather simple and straightforward. In the Gospel of Mark, as best I can tell, there's two times where God, the Father, God in heaven, speaks. The first time is back in chapter 1 when Jesus is baptized. John the Baptizer is in the Jordan. He's baptizing folks, and Jesus comes, and it tells us that Jesus was baptized by John, and as he was coming out, Jesus saw the heavens torn apart and the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and then a voice saying, "This is my son, my beloved, the beloved, in whom I delight." So the first, in spite of all the fireworks and everything going on, when Jesus is transfigured, it's the second time that that God speaks directly to Jesus. In the midst of all this light and everything going on, what God begins with is, "This is my son." This is my son. It's like a parent holding a child. Like Roger, right? Roger Elias. This is my son. The glory of the God, the power of the universe is made available. And what God chooses to say is, this is my child. Now, there were folks in the kings of Israel before in the Old Testament. They were referred to as sons of God. During Jesus' time, Caesar was called a son of God. But no one had God speak from heaven and say, you are my son, you are my child. So in the midst of all this going on, there's this tenderness, this clear love and claiming of God that Jesus is God's son. Then the next words are, the beloved. Isn't that a wonderful word? It's not a word I use very much. I happened to use it this morning when I was waking up Pastor Laura, because I was aware that I was going to be preaching on this. It's like, wow, this is a great word, and she is my beloved. And it's a word that, I mean, those of us that have used it, it usually is somebody you're in very, very intimate relationship with, a husband, a wife, maybe a child. And it's a wonderful word, and very often it feels kind of romantic. But if we go back to the Greek word is agapetos. Now that word you haven't heard, but you may have heard the word agape. It's spelled like agape. And agape probably is a good word to describe the way Peter was. Let me build you some dwelling. I mean, you know, in the midst of all that going on, he was agape and trying, not sure what to do. But when God talks about who Jesus is, God says, agapetos, the one who has received my love, that is in my love, that has my love poured out on him. Agapetos. And this word for agape, you may have heard this before too, is it's one of three words that tends to be used in the New Testament for love. The other two, one is eros, like erotic. Another is philia, which is like brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. But this is agape. And the sense of agape is, first of all, it's really divine love. We use words like unconditional. It's the kind of love that comes whether you deserve it or not. In that sense, I've started using the word, it's surprising love. It's a love that comes when you're not expecting it, when you're sure that when you're braced for somebody to attack, somebody to lean on you, to put you to shame, to ridicule you, to not forgive you. When agape shows up, it's like, what? You accept me? You forgive me? You love me anyway? Agape is surprising love. And I was thinking, if you could see agape love, what we see, I mean, when it's expressed, we hear the words, we may see the actions. But actually, if agape love was a force that you could see, probably the best thing to visualize would be light. Imagine if every time agape love happened, there was light. It's a wonderful image, you know. It's just like somebody's done you wrong and you go forgive them, it'd be great, light show up. But if we use that metaphor of light for God's love, then when we look at the transfiguration, what Peter, James, and John get to see is the agape love of God manifested in Jesus as like a physical light of force. A physical light of force. And what we know, but this is in chapter 9, what Jesus has been doing all through this gospel is going around agape-ing people, loving people unconditionally, going to those that are sick, whether it was their own stupidity or ignorance that caused them to be sick, God heals them. God points to a kingdom where love and grace abound. God reaches out to those that are, Jesus reaches out to folks that are unclean, who have been shunned by the community because of their leprosy or because of what they've done or some other reason that they aren't allowed in. And Jesus physically touches them and brings them back in, has them experience love, experience agape. And his words are agape teaching over and over and over. Even to those that argue with him, even those that can't see the good that he's doing, how he is of God, he says words that give them, it's like a key, if they'll use it, to unlock their minds so they can see. Now, that's what the parables are, really. They're keys to help us kind of start opening our minds so we can understand this agape love of Jesus, this agape love of God. When God says, "You are my son," the love of the agapetos. One way of understanding that is, yes, you know me in my essence. And what Jesus says is the essence of God is agape. This surprising love, this love that God intends to be in the world. And the last thing God says to Jesus, so that Peter, James, and John can hear it, actually, he doesn't say it to Jesus. He's saying it to Peter, James, and John. Listen to him. Now, not just hear him. Don't just be awed by all this. But listen to what he's saying, because he's telling you who the God of the universe is. The God of the universe is this source of love being spilled out and showered on the world over and over and over. And if we, if we can hear it, if we listen, and we trust like Jesus trusted, if we believe like Jesus believed, if we embrace like Jesus embraced that agape love, then what happens is it starts spilling out of us. What's that verse? God, oh, we love because God first loved us. We agape because God first agape'd us. Agape is a fun word, John 3:16. For God so agape'd the world that God gave God's only Son so that the world might know what true life is about. As Christians, we look to Jesus. If we heed the command, this invitation to light and to walk in the light and to allow this light to fill us, then first of all, we open ourselves up to this amazing love, this surprising love that God gives us. And when we get it down to the core, when I say that, when we let it into those places where, you know, it may be an area of doubt. Well, we're not so sure about this. If we really allow the love that God showed in Jesus to penetrate there, it gives us confidence. It gives us faith to move forward. When we allow that agape love of God to fill us, then those parts of us that we are ashamed of, those little closets way back in the corners of our mind where we know we're not any good, that light, that agape can get in there. And instead of God using it as a weapon against us, what we experience is a surprising love of forgiveness. God says, "I know you. You are my children. I agape you, really, really, as you are not, I love you." Once we allow that to penetrate through us, if you could see agape love, what would happen is we'd start getting brighter and brighter. And you know people that kind of seem to do that. there's a brightness about them. There's a joy about them. We even talk about, you know, a light in a sense. It's like that's that agape, that surprising love. And people that get it, pass it on. That's what Jesus did. Jesus got it. He passed it on. When we go out of our way to help somebody, maybe somebody's car isn't starting, to take the time to help them get their car started, or what they call snow angels here in Calgary, right? When we take the time to go ahead and shovel our neighbor's sidewalk, that's agape love. Now, is it pure agape love? We have a pretty good arrangement, my neighbor and I. I'll shovel his and he shovels mine. It kind of gets in the way. But even if it's not perfect agape love, whenever we take the time to listen to somebody that really needs to talk, really needs to have somebody that will listen and understand, that's agape-ing them. It's that surprising love that shines a little bit of light into the darkness. And golly, the biggest one, of course, is what God does to us is forgive us. Because we can't help but mess things up, do things that hurt others. And guess what? We're living in a world of people that do the same thing to us. when we remember, oh yes, this surprising love that God is giving us, then we dare to let go of whatever the resentment, the bitterness, the revenge. They experience light, we experience light, and we have life. I mentioned Transfiguration is the end of Epiphany, the season of light, the light of Jesus being revealed to the world, culminating in this light show of God's amazing love, God's surprising love. Beginning this week with Ash Wednesday, we head toward the cross. We head toward Good Friday and Easter, a journey that we walk with Jesus, probably the clearest manifestation of the depth of the agape love, the surprising love that Jesus lived, giving his life for all, taking the brunt of all the pain and suffering so that we might know of life. During this Lenten season, using this light metaphor, this agape surprising love, I invite you to take it on as an opportunity to see what is keeping the light from shining in and through you. It may be something you want to hold on to about not being good enough. You'll forgive everybody but that one person that really did you wrong. Whatever it is, whatever that's blocking you, allow God to take that away so you can really experience the love and begin practicing it. We practice it by listening. We practice it by serving. We use words like inviting, praying. These are all ways to allow this surprising love to be made, be captured by us, but then also passed on. God said, "This is my son, the beloved." God says to you also, "You are my children. Each of you is my child. You are beloved. My surprising love is for you." Won't you join me in sharing it with the world? Amen.